Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to remember another one of the Hager kids, this time Vernon, or better known as Buddy Hager. He was the owner and operator of Hemphill's Pharmacy for many years. We're going to talk to Todd Downing, a family member of his, about his life and the pharmacy after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Well, good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you with us this Saturday morning as we continue to remember people, places, and things of Jessamine County. Today, we are going to talk about one more of the Hager Bunch. Now, you know in the past few months, we have had programs which we've talked about Ciara Hager and Ellistine Hager. We've talked about the girls, all four of them at once. Well, today, we're going to focus on one more of those fellas, and his name was Vernon. Now, most people knew him as Buddy, and he owned and operated a drugstore here in town, which is remembered by a lot of people who are from Jessamine County. It was called Hemphill's. Now, with us today is one of his, I guess it'd be great nephews, Todd Downing. Hello, Todd.
Hello, Doug.
Glad you're here. Now, Todd is kind of playing a dual role in that not only is Todd related to Buddy and the rest of the Hagers, but Todd went on after high school to become a pharmacist himself, and he worked at Hemphill's along with Yearwood's drugstore. So we're going to kind of tie all this together. So Todd, to get started, let's start talking about Buddy Hager, okay, who was so well known, your great uncle. Tell us a little bit about him and how he got started.
Well, Uncle Buddy was a twin to my Aunt Marie, and they were next to last in the Hager line of children. I believe that he was born in July of 1923. They were. He went to pharmacy school, graduated from the University of Louisville, and at that time, I believe it was the only pharmacy school in the state before it moved to UK. Now we have more than one. But after that happened, he bought the drugstore where he worked his entire career on Main Street in 1949. And bought that from a gentleman whose name was Weber, Mr. Weber. And he bought it after Mr. Weber was shot in the drugstore in 1948 or 49, I guess, because the pharmacist cut off a guy who was drug dependent. And the guy went in and fatally shot Mr. Weber in the drugstore. So Uncle Buddy bought the drugstore, and with his partner, Joe McMurtry, who they were partners till, I believe, the 70s. After that time, Mr. McMurtry moved to Edgewood when it started and opened Drug Mart.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of it in a nutshell. Let's delve into it a little bit more. Now, we know from some history that we have, Hemphill's was long in business before Buddy came along.
Right.
We know it was started back, around the turn of the century, I think it was.
1901.
By a fellow named Hemphill.
Yeah, Dan Hemphill.
Okay. And he owned it. And then you mentioned this Weber guy. And then the story, of course, goes, and we hope that there's the truth to this. This guy that shot him, evidently, like you say, was drug dependent, but it was a situation to where pharmacists just wasn't giving him his prescription, or was it the up and up? What do we know? Any details
about
that?
Well, we don't. The details are kind of sketchy. It kind of goes like this. Mr. Weber was illegally supplying a man by the name of Grant with drugs. Grant was a military officer in town on leave of absence, and when Weber suddenly decided to cut off the supply of drugs to Grant, Grant, of course, became enraged, took out his revenge on Mr. Weber, left the store, returned with a gun, and shot him. And
wow.
Mr. Weber died subsequently of his injuries.
Wow. It, right over here, was in this location where Hemphill's was when Buddy had it.
Right.
At the corner of Maple and Main Street, where, right, for our new listeners, and Todd, we have to do this because we have a lot of people in our town who have been here 10 years or less. It's currently a place called Jay's. It's a coffee shop.
Right
next to the courthouse. So Buddy and Joe went into business. Now, you were talking about him going to pharmacy school, and the best I remember, I believe another uncle of yours, Ellistine, told me that he was in mortuary college at the same time, and I guess they went and rode together or roomed together, maybe.
That's right.
With Joe McMurtry.
Right.
I think they were all in the same time.
I believe that's right.
So Joe and Buddy came back, and they bought this store, and of course...
Which was half the size it is.
Oh, really? It was only...
Yeah, it was just on the corner, and after a little while, Uncle Buddy says, looks like in 1954, I think, Uncle Buddy bought the half going south, which would have been next to Compton's, I guess, and it just doubled the size of the drugstore. So basically the fountain side was the original side.
And then, as you alluded to, and we had a program a few weeks ago with Ann Nicholson and Carol Brown about their parents, Elizabeth and Cleveland Thompson. And they told the story that when they decided that it was time to have a bigger grocery store, that Miss Elizabeth made the comment, she said, we can build this place, but I want to have a big grocery store, a big drug store, a big church, and there was something else. And that's when Drug Mart was born. And the way they told is that I guess it was proposed to both of them to do that. And Buddy decided, no, I'd rather stay here. And Joe said, well, I'll go there. Is that correct?
That's correct. Okay. And I've heard Uncle Buddy say that he felt like he could not, that there was too much business downtown and he couldn't abandon the established business downtown.
And he was right. And they both did well.
Yeah.
And of course, Drug Mart, we're hoping to get Ben Doyle on here before long, just recently closed after 41 years, I think, in business. So that was the oldest business in the Edgewood Plaza, and it has gone now. Now, Buddy, when he bought that and had it by himself, it was somewhat like Yearwood's in that there was a snack bar, but it was a little more because they had the grill and everything, didn't they?
Right. Mr. Yearwood didn't have any hot food.
Yeah.
He could heat up. I mean, we had soup, but he didn't have coffee. He didn't. I asked him once why we didn't have coffee, and he told me in his Mr. Yearwood way that when you had coffee, you had sitters, and he did not want sitters.
Was it him or her that did?
I don't remember Mrs. Yearwood, but I'm sure that was a holdover.
Yes.
But at any rate, Mr. Yearwood was not open on Sunday. Yeah. And of course, we all, Sundays between Sunday school and church at Hemp Hills were legendary, and we can talk about that.
Right.
But a great deal of difference in the two.
Yeah.
Two whole sides of pharmacy.
Now, we'll get off the track here and go to you a little bit. When you graduated Jefferson County High, was it pretty well in your mind, this is what I want to do?
Right. I knew ahead of time.
Okay. Had you worked at one of these places prior to graduating high school?
I worked for Mr. Yearwood. We went to Nicholasville Christian Church, and when I was in ninth grade in 1979, Mr. Yearwood, we were walking down the stairs after church, and he asked me if I wanted to make some Coca-Cola money.
Yeah.
And I said, sure. And he said, well, come by the store and we'll give you some hours.
Yeah.
And
that's how it started.
It.
But your want to be a pharmacist, I'm assuming, came out of that.
Right.
So,
and,
watching,
growing up with Uncle Buddy, too.
Yeah. And then that, too. What'd you do at Yearwood's when you started? Do you remember?
The fountain.
Worked
in the fountain, made the famous lemonade and
Cherry Coke.
Yeah. Mr. Yearwood only had one flavor.
Yeah.
It was just Coke Classic. Well, it wasn't classic then. It was just Coke.
Yeah.
He thought Diet Coke was a flash in the pan. It would not last. He said, this won't last. So it was just Coke. And every morning we put the syrup in the back out of a carton. It looked like a milk carton. We poured the Coke syrup in the back and packed it with ice. And the carbonated water was... came in from the basement, and that was it. It was Coke syrup and carbonated water.
So it was true Coke.
You hear about Coke syrup, and when people have upset stomach, he would draw it out of the carton and give them Coke syrup.
That's the thing, Todd, and as a pharmacist nowadays, those remedies like that, I mean, Lord, the government would be all over you if you tried something like that now, I would assume. But that was the way it was, wasn't it? I mean, they weren't just pharmacists. They were almost like your doctor.
Right. And, good advice that I remember from one or both of them that I still tell people when, they're sick to their stomach and can't keep anything down and worry about, throwing up medicine or whatever. That if they take liquid medicine, just take enough to coat your tongue, not all at once. And I remember Mr. Yearwood saying, or Uncle Buddy one time, that if you give something with dark chocolate to a kid, the dark chocolate seems to calm the stomach and not make it as queasy.
Really?
Yeah, things like that. And those are, I guess, just age-old things, whether they work or not. Nobody's come back and said it didn't work. But those old guys taught us things like that, and that's why we have rotations and residencies and go on rotations to be with those guys to get that experiential exposure.
Now, when you started college, were you still at Yearwood's?
No, I went to Trancy, and when I was at Trancy, I worked at the Coach House in Lexington, and then when I got into pharmacy school, I worked with Uncle Buddy. Okay. Mr. Yearwood was closed at that time.
This program, of course, is about Buddy and hemp pills, but since we have your knowledge here of Doc Yearwood, what's some of your favorite memories of him?
Well, Mr. Yearwood graduated from pharmacy school in 1923, and I remember Mr. Yearwood telling me that he knew Al Capone because Mr. Yearwood was manager of the stores in downtown Chicago and later moved to Oak Park, Illinois, where he knew Frank Lloyd Wright and things like that. And at that time, it was a totally different world. Mr. Yearwood grew up in Uncle Buddy, too, in a time when they gave ground powdered charcoal for an upset stomach.
Yeah.
And I've heard them both talk about things like that.
Yeah. And you mentioned, too, that the Doc worked for Walgreens.
Mr. Walgreens.
The guy that started it all.
C.R. Walgreens.
Wow. Great history there with him. Nice guy. Doc Yearwood was just...
Nice guys. And they were very close friends. You know, competition makes you pretty close. And we borrowed things back and forth. If Mr. Yearwood didn't have something, we'd get it from Uncle Buddy. Right. And then if Uncle Buddy didn't have something, he'd get it from Mr. Yearwood. And we kept what we call an O-book. Mm-hmm. And pharmacies still do that today. You know, we help each other. We have to lean on each other all the time.
Right.
And Mr. Yearwood had Sunday breakfast at Uncle Buddy's every Sunday. And, you know, it was kind of a competitive friendship that made them both stronger.
Sure.
And Nicholas feels better for it.
Well, sure. That's exactly right. I know one of another friendship that I thought of when you were talking about that was John Sutherland and Bobby Sellers, who had this Chevrolet and the Ford dealership. And right across the street from each other, folks, they competed, but were two of the best friends that ever walked. That's good. It's a good thing. It was good for our town. You're right.
You know, and another thing that not so much Mr. Yearwood, because Uncle Buddy had hot food at the fountain. He had a griddle and a grill and a fryer, and you could have hot food and sandwiches, which we didn't have at Yearwood's. And people came there for lunch, a very popular lunch counter for all the downtown employees, and Miss Sparks' famous chicken salad and pimento cheese. And you know, I can remember it during the week at 10 o'clock, Jim Bays and Emmett Hendren and Bobby Knatzer and those guys that were all the downtown merchants would come every day during the week at 10 o'clock for 30 minutes to have coffee. And Uncle Buddy was part of that, too. They played golf, and they did this and that, but that was where they met. And if that counter could talk, I don't know that we'd want to hear it all, but you know, I'm sure a lot of important decisions for Nicholasville were made right there.
You're exactly right. Now, you went back to work for him, or you went to work for him after when you started college.
Pharmacy school.
How was it to work for him? Now, this guy is your uncle. He's your relation, and you know, sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't. How was it to work for Buddy?
It was good. He was probably tougher on me than most people because he didn't want me to embarrass him. And I can understand that. But, you know, he was very strict and would do things like he would put M&Ms in a bottle to see if you checked it to see if it was M&Ms or pills.
Really?
That was just, between me and him He would do that to me to ask me questions. And, just, you know, trying to make sure that the people that went to him for knowledge got it.
And what, you know, and I can understand why he wants to make sure that who he trains is going to come out knowing exactly, as they should, everything they need to know about pharmacy.
Right. And to teach them to be attentive and not assume anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, but then there was the business side of him, too, that is kind of funny. I remember on Sundays, the counter was in the back. And of course, we didn't do many prescriptions on Sunday, but the aisles were front to back, street to back, and the big draw was right at the door was the comic book counter. And, you know, all the downtown churches in between, all the kids would come downtown or come to Hemp Hills for a Cherry Coke or what have you. And then the kids would go to the comic book aisle, and we would be back in the pharmacy, and Mr. or Uncle Buddy would look at them and say, "Just look at those kids shoplifting." And I said, "Uncle Buddy, they're not shoplifting. They're reading comic books." And he said, "They're reading comic books, but they're not buying comic books. That's shoplifting." So it's a whole different way of looking at things, I suppose. But, you know, I've heard Mom and Johnetta and a bunch of people talk about when, you know, the generation before me, that when they got out of school, I guess at Nicholasville Elementary, they would come down and the big thing was a bag of potato chips and mustard and a nickel Coke. And Mom has said that, you know, there were so many kids after church on Sunday that they couldn't pour the Cokes fast enough, that they had them pre-poured in those little tiny Coke glasses, probably about 3-ounce glasses, lined up on the counter because they couldn't pour them fast enough.
And they knew everybody was coming.
Right.
You know, some of the things that I remember the best about the store, of course, is the lunch counter. And having worked in the courthouse for many years, I would eat there quite a bit. But you mentioned Miss Sparks. I hadn't thought about Miss Sparks for years. She worked there for a long time, didn't she?
Yes. Well, I guess the whole time.
Yeah.
Then when Uncle Buddy married Aunt Polly, and of course, when you got Aunt Polly, you got Miss Sparks.
Right.
She was a fixture in the business like anything. Mm-hmm. And famous for her pimento cheese and her, which I knew well, and apparently her chicken salad, which I wasn't very well acquainted with, but people talk about it, and she made it constantly. And part of the charm about Uncle Buddy was that he knew if you were sick or if you, you know, weren't well and were one of his patients, you're getting a prescription, he'd send you a little cup of pimento cheese or chicken salad home with whoever was picking up your prescription so that you could have a little snack. But, you know, just caring about those people. And Miss Sparks, that was very important to her. You know, she was always there, always running the counter until, you know, she couldn't or was doing other things. And she was very active in the pharmacy, too. She would run that pharmacy register and the whole thing. She was just kind of a total store person.
Now, did Buddy's wife work there? Did Polly work there?
She was there. I'm not quite sure if she was actively an employee, but she was always in and out and there and what have you. But I don't know if you remember, but in front of the pharmacy above the cash register was a fishing wire, and it had that balance, the little guy on the bicycle with the weights.
Yes, and that probably is the other thing that I remember the most is that. It was a clown?
It was a clown or a little monkey on a bike,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, like a unicycle type thing.
Right.
And back and forth.
And you pulled on one end of it. It was for the kids, and you pulled on one end of it, and it would go all the way across the line and back.
Yeah.
And
so. Yeah, great memories. And, of course, Buddy, he just had that Hager way about him. I mean, just as nice as he could be to everybody and helped a lot of people. And, you know, on our You Grew Up in Jessamine County Facebook page, a lot of people has come up with pictures of inside the store. And one of our friends, the late Tom Ashley, had a bunch. If somehow he had a camera when he was young, and there's so many pictures that are of inside. They're not necessarily wide shots that show the store, but you can tell that's where they are, of people and teenagers. I mean, this was a hangout place.
Right.
For a lot of people in a lot of ways, in all ages, as you say, not only just on church day, but all the time.
Well, I don't guess we had a drive-in.
Yeah, I guess you're right. The closest thing, I guess, to that would have been Lane's, which later became Georgia's drive-in out across from the Board of Education. But as far as downtown, it was close to the school. It was close to a lot of the church. Well, most all your big churches were right downtown. Whether it be the Baptist or the Christian or the Methodist, they were all right there. And I guess that's why.
And the downtown businesses.
And your businesses, which a whole lot more than we have now.
And I'm not for sure, I can't speak to this, but I'm probably correct in that early on there were evening hours or extended hours.
Yeah.
Because I know that I think Mr. Yearwood had extended hours back in the day. But, of course, that went away.
And, of course, nowadays, as you know, you're working this current pharmaceutical business, you know, your drugstores now are open late hours all the time, some of them all night. But back then, it wasn't, I guess, anything if somebody called at 9 o'clock at night and I'm sick for the Buddy or Doc or whoever to come to the pharmacist. Of course, Doc Yearwood lived right upstairs. It was
right.
Easy for him. But to come in and take care of getting a prescription ready for somebody, even at weird hours of the night.
Or take it to you.
Yeah, I guess deliver it to your home, too, right?
Right.
Did you ever do any of that?
I have done that. I've taken things to people's homes, yes.
Is it not service? Is it What is the big difference now between then and now as far as the drugstore?
A lot of it's volume and a lot of it's insurance. But the real balancing act is to be able to take that experience you get from these patriarchs and somehow weave it into the day-to-day that we do. That's why we rely on each other around town, everywhere I've practiced, but especially a small town like this. Mm-hmm. You get to know the other guys in the other stores, and you rely on each other and lean on each other, and mm-hmm. we have to get together as one and kind of take care of these people. It's try to take the institutionalization out of pharmacy and let it be a small town store.
With that being said, is that something that you kind of do on your own? Is that corporate driven, or do you just kind of say, we got to do this, is what we're going to do?
It's both.
Yeah.
You can't teach somebody to be a good pharmacist. They have to want to be a good pharmacist. Yeah. And we're encouraged to just take care of people.
Yeah. I know also in reading some of the history here of Hemphill's, they had some robberies down there too.
They did.
Two or three, I think.
And I only remember the one that was the bigger one more than any of the others, which I've only heard about in passing. But the one where he lost 90% of the inventory really affected him because, you know, naturally he was concerned about being robbed and all the damage and the, you know, repairs and what have you. But 90% of his inventory was taken, and his fear was that somebody would sell heart pills to someone thinking that and that they were going to be selling them narcotics.
Yeah.
So he was more concerned about the damage it might cause to the general public if they were sold the wrong thing.
Than losing it himself.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that had to be a scary
conversation. And it was very damaging. I mean, he was closed for a while because of all the damage. I mean, the store was inoperable.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, 90%. I mean, you can't just call a supplier, I would think, within an hour, have all that back.
But the physical damage.
Oh, okay.
I think the safe was damaged and the alleyway, and they, you know, got through the bricks and the whole thing. So it was a structural thing.
Do you know when Buddy decided to hang it up? You remember that?
It was late 88, 89, I believe. And he just came to the point where the downtown business was changing so much. The downtown traffic was changing.
Yeah.
The demographics of Nicholasville and Jessamine County were changing. And, you know, he wasn't a young man anymore. And it was a very competitive environment. He didn't have a computer. Mm-hmm. Microfiche was the computer he used, and a typewriter, and that was basically all he was interested in at that point.
Yeah.
And so I think that it was apparent to him that, you know, it was time for him to relax and enjoy a little more golf and some time off, because he'd served for 50 years?
Well, every bit of it.
Yeah.
And no telling how many people he touched and he served in all those years. It would be, well, I guess you just couldn't keep count. And I know that when he left, a lot of people were sad, and just like the drug mart that just closed. I mean, you get used to something. People don't like change.
Right.
And you get used to something, but things do change. Times change. As bad as we hate it sometimes. You know, we did on that Facebook page a poll one time talking about if you could reopen any business that used to be. And it's funny because there's two or three that are always in the top two or three. Hemphill's is always there. Ward's Bakery.
Yeah. I
mean, and Hemphill's and that, to name a couple, Yearwood's. I mean, those places hold a lot of fond memories for people. A quick story about Yearwood's, and I have told this on this show before. There is a gentleman here in town who's a little bit older than me, African-American community, told me one time that his dad would send him and his brother into Yearwood's to get a milkshake or whatever, Cherry Coke, whatever it is. But they were told by his dad, their dad, you know, just order it, stand back. And this was when they were, you know, in 8 or 9, 10 years old. I guess at that time that integration had taken place, but it still wasn't quite accepted. And he told me one time that his best memory of Doc Yearwood, of all the things, was the fact that he walked in there one day, he ordered whatever it was, he stood back, and Doc Yearwood looked at him and said, "Young man, you can sit up here at this counter just like anybody else." And he said, you know, I've never forgotten that he told me that and accepted me that way. The impact that people have sometimes, Doc Yearwood and Buddy and all those people, and they don't even realize it. You know,
that's right. Well, and I think that I've heard Mr. Yearwood talk about, you know, when he, at Walgreens at that time, when you got your 25 years in, you retired. It was sort of a mandatory retirement. Yeah. And we're talking about 1945, yeah. 47, and during the war. On or about the war, and how he was transferred to Charlotte, and how coming from Chicago and going to Charlotte was such a diverse mm-hmm. and different mm-hmm. environment for him.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was transferred to Louisville, where he ultimately came to Nicholasville from, and how that. And I think that vision and seeing those things, and, you know, he was just a fine man.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Like Uncle Buddy.
Sure. Yeah, there couldn't have been any two better people in the pharmacy business in our town. You know, I know there's great pharmacists all over this country, but, you know, we had the best.
Well, and Uncle Buddy, you know, one of the things that he was so proud of, and rightly so, was that he was president of the Kentucky Pharmacists Association mm-hmm. in the early 60s and was one of the 45 winners of the Robbins Bowl of Hygeia Award, which the Bowl of Hygeia is still going on, and it's sort of a award in excellence for pharmacists, community pharmacists, yeah. and what they have contributed to the profession and to their communities. And over 3,000 pharmacists have been recognized since it started 2 years ago. And he was right there at the very beginning of that, and you know, that's sort of like the Academy Award
yeah.
for community pharmacists,
yeah.
and to have a winner right here in town at the very beginnings, that's quite an honor.
Sure it is. Well, they are certainly missed. I know, not only as family members, but as pharmacists and businessmen in our town. And, you know, I've said this before about some of the other people we've done programs on, Todd, is that people like Buddy and people like Doc Yearwood and others that we have mentioned, they kept this town going. They kept it going. They kept it progressing and got it on its way. And very easily, you know, Buddy Hager, when he had that robbery, could have very easily threw his hands up and said, "That's it, I'm done."
Right.
He didn't.
Right.
He kept on because he was true to his people.
Right.
And his clientele, and cared about them, as Doc Yearwood did too. And you miss them. You miss people like that. Not that we don't have good people now. Heck, you're a pharmacist right here too, and you take care of us. But you just appreciate people like that that have laid the groundwork for you and for others and for all of us.
Right. And part of the heavy load that goes with that responsibility is simply the responsibility to keep it going.
Sure, sure.
Well, you know, it's what they would want.
That's right. That's a good way to say it. Todd, thanks for your insight, your information.
It's my pleasure.
Coming. My thanks to Todd for coming in this Saturday morning and remembering Buddy Hager and Hemphill's Pharmacy. And we appreciate you coming in every Saturday morning as well to learn more about people, places, and things of Jessamine County. We'll do it again next Saturday at 11 right here on Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.